from the side of the north. A voice to the nations of the earth. And now we cannot say from the city of Abuja, because now it's from everywhere. We are so honored in this city tonight to have the president of Eternity Network International. Let's welcome tonight Apostle Joshua Selman Nimak.
Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's wave our hands to Jesus tonight with hearts full of expectation. Lift your hands to Him, believing that He will work wonders in the midst of His people. Let every other name fade away. Let every other name fade away. Till there's only You. Let every other name fade away. Jesus, take Your place. Jesus, take Your place. Sing it one more time. Let every other name fade away. Shalabakusada. Let every other name fade away. Till there's only You. Let every other name fade away. Jesus, take Your place. Jesus, take Your place.
Hallelujah.
Father, tonight we declare that Jesus is revealed in this place. And Lord, I pray that Your word will come with power. Let there be every manifestation of the Spirit that You will in this place tonight. In the name of Jesus, let the sick be healed. Let the oppressed be delivered. Give our lives direction. Let mantles fall in this place tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ. God bless you. Please be seated. Thank you again. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's really good to be here again. I think this is last I was here. It was right here, and I think since the, aside from when I preached for Apostle Achidume, I'm not sure I've been here again. So I'm honored to be here. Thank you so much for the love, the reception, and let me honor all the servants of God here present. May the Lord honor you. In the name of Jesus, Apostle Achidume, God bless you and honor again, sir. Amen and amen. We took our time to pray at the session earlier in the afternoon, and the Lord challenged us as to the fact that one of the assignments of the gate of hell, especially in this season, is to silence our voice. According to Ezekiel 19:9, it says that they bound him so that his voice would not be heard on the mountain of Israel. And we took our time to pray. And tonight, I just want us to look very briefly to the book of Acts. Let's study for a few minutes before we pray. Now, I began to challenge us in the morning again about the necessity for doctrine. Conferences like this, among other things, seek to restore us to an accurate understanding of doctrine. Doctrine is how believers are mentored. Doctrine is the course content for the believer's growth and maturity. There is no other provision, no other possibility for a believer to grow and attain stature outside of doctrine. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. It comes from the Latin word doctrina. It means a predefined body of truth that is intended to turn a people into something very specific. And so when we random guess our spiritual experiences, we're not able to grow methodically to have that level of spiritual understanding that will allow us to be effective in ministry. This is a believer's convention, and that means that in addition to the salvation, please listen carefully, in addition to the salvation of souls, this also provides a platform to mature believers. And believers become matured when they are enlightened, when they are transformed by the accurate communication of doctrine. So they now become people of stature and power, not based on longevity around Christian activities, but based on the accurate communication of doctrine. Hallelujah. It says, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and then to give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. Hallelujah. It's very, very important that we understand that God intends for us to grow. For as long as we remain children, our experiences will not differ from they that are outside of the kingdom. For the Bible says, an heir for as long as he's a child, he said, he differeth not from a slave, even though he be Lord of all. Hallelujah. So how do we grow? We grow by understanding the truths of God's word, not randomly communicated. Growth must be methodical, line upon line, precept upon precept, beginning with what the Bible calls the foundational doctrines of the Christian faith. Hebrews chapter 6. The foundations, he lists six of them. There are six of them that represent the pillar of the believer's foundation. That on the strength of those pillars, you sustain the stamina to explore the realm of the spirit without the fear of being misled. Because every one of those pillars sustains the ability to keep you and guide you. Attempting to delve into dimensions of the prophetic, the apostolic, visionary experiences without these doctrinal foundations will inevitably delve any individual into error. Because of the vast nature of the realm of the spirit, you will need to have that foundation. This is why those who operate in the gifts of the spirit and in the ministry offices most powerfully are those who had the background of sound doctrine. You would notice that some of the most accurate communicators of the truth of scripture, regardless the diversity of gifts at work in them, if you trace their lives, you will find out that most of them, respectfully speaking, started from conservative and orthodox assemblies. I don't say that to show any sarcasm to what we know as the Pentecostal charismatic move, but most of them, in as much as they were not really exposed to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, but one thing they went through was a methodical system where the foundational truth of the faith was inculcated. Is that true? And so even in the face of error, their deviation is not too far, because the foundation is solid enough to keep them. So it's easy for them to be restored. But people who just begin their journey and cherry pick any spiritual truth they wish will find out that they are making the mistake of the man who built upon sand. Because the same thing that happened to the one on the rock happened to the one on sand. It was not the structure, it was the foundation. Hallelujah. So my passion really, when God provides a platform like this, my passion more than the impartation and the miracles, and we experience that, is to be able to introduce a dimension of the kingdom that is able to further our stability. Are we together now? So that we become grounded, we become immovable, established in the knowledge of the truth. So that our experience will be the answer to the prayer that Paul prayed over the church in Colossae, chapter 1 and verse 9. He bowed his knees praying to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ that they be filled with the knowledge of his will. Number one. Number two, that they be filled with all wisdom
And number three, they be filled with spiritual understanding. Psalm 82 and verse 5 says, they know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness, he says, and the foundations of the earth are out of course. The next verse says, I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. It says, but you shall die like mere men and fall like one of these princes. Let me digress for 1 minute and just summarize for you, in my opinion and based on the authority of Scripture and the experience of the fathers, what I believe is the recommended roadmap as far as the growth and the maturity of the believer is concerned. We're dealing with the book of Acts, but I just thought that it was important to set that foundation, because we're a generation that likes power. We like the realm of the spirit, and that is wonderful. But there has to be this foundational understanding. Praise the Lord. Let me have just one gentleman. Anyone? That's all right. This one is okay. Please come. Now, watch this, believers. This is a believers' meeting. Now, if this gentleman gets born again today, receives Jesus Christ, and they hand over this gentleman to you, respectfully speaking, whether as a preacher or a worker in church, or one who has been in the faith for at least 5 years, let's do an interview for you. What are you going to teach this man? If I hand this man over to you and I leave Abeokuta, and I say I am returning by this time next year, I expect to find someone who has made progress in the spirit. Dear teacher, let me know what you are going to teach him. What is the first step? When I hand him over to you, what is he going to learn? What do I expect to see by next year? If this is not touch the body of Christ, we will keep piling a lot of children. And for as long as there are people who are saved but do not grow, they become praise also, because if their minds are not transformed, Satan still has dominion over them. Are we together now? Yes. Now, this gentleman came to Jesus because he received a proposition that Jesus can save, Jesus can lift. There is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Is that true? He believed it and he came to Jesus. Now he's been handed over to the church for growth and for maturity. You will be surprised, ladies and gentlemen, that after 5 years of meeting this gentleman, when you interact with him as a matured believer, you will live with a lot of disappointment. Maybe the only thing that will be added to his life is he may be a pastor in a church now, even with that immaturity. Maybe the only thing that will be added to him, he may be a praise and worship leader now, pending on whatever gift he has. And you will be surprised that just because he's excelling as far as church appointments are concerned, he is matured, until you speak with him as touching doctrine. What do you understand about prayer? What do you understand about dominion? What do you understand about the supremacy of the word? What do you understand about being a spiritual man? What do you understand about repentance from dead works? What do you understand about the kingdom? What do you understand about the Holy Spirit? What do you understand about demons? What do you understand about the keys of victory given to the saints? What do you understand about the wealth in the kingdom? What do you understand about purpose and destiny? What do you understand about God, about Jesus? What do you understand about Satan? What do you understand about the life to come? So when you say, I am a matured Christian, by what parameter? A, I have stayed very long in church. B, I went through maybe a foundational class and I am now a worker or a deacon. See, I started my own ministry. D, I discovered that the gifts of the Spirit are at work in my life. Now I prophesy, now I lay hands on the sick. You will be shocked to understand that none of those things in themselves sustain the ability to administer spiritual maturity. Is someone learning tonight? Before we explore the book of Acts, it's important to just let you know, what should you do with this man? How can this man transit to become that giant that you saw at the time of his salvation? You see, our fathers used a formula that we have thrown away. Most of them will tell you, when the missionaries came and they were saved, if individuals were saved, even if they did not see themselves for 5 years, they knew that 5 years later they will meet matured and solid and strong Christians. They were not necessarily educated, but my goodness, they were spiritual. Can our growth in this kingdom be predictable? Can I random pick from any membership, regardless the church, and be sure that there is a threshold level of spiritual understanding will sustain? Run an interview to sincere believers who love Jesus Christ, and you will leave with tears. Not because they are bad, and some of them are very zealous. Like I stated in the morning, this is exactly what the devil is looking for. When hunger collides with ignorance, Satan can cash in upon that hunger and begin to expose people to extra-biblical experiences. And because they do not even have a reference, they don't know when they are in error. Are you seeing that now? So many people begin to swallow all kinds of things that look spiritual in context. But then the formation that those fruits are bringing is not Christ. They are becoming something else, because if it is doctrine in partnership with the Holy Spirit, you should become like Christ. Are we together? If you want to make, say, omelette in the kitchen, right? When you scramble your eggs, there is something exactly it should look like. So you know when to stop that frying, because you have a picture of what it should look like. And you can, by that reference, know when you did not get it right. So the average believer, when confronted with challenges, does not even understand the principles of the kingdom accurately to know what keys of the kingdom to engage with understanding. You may have heard me say it. The average believer will random pick any truth in the Bible and engage it. The blood of Jesus, the fire of the Holy Ghost, seed sowing, touching and agreeing, the prophetic. Now, that person is trying to find a solution, but because there is no accurate understanding of the keys of the kingdom and what doors they open, we will just random pick and engage anything. And the danger is that one will walk, but you do not know which one really worked. Was it the blood of Jesus, or was it the seed you sowed, or was it the prayer, was it the night vigil, was it the prophetic decree? You don't know, and most times we don't care. So there cannot be mastery. The Bible says, he that strives for mastery is not crowned except he strives lawfully. Every time you kick your car, you do the exact same thing you did when you learned how to drive. And that car, under normal circumstances, should not be disobedient, because there is a law that is connected with that principle. If a demon spirit attacks your family, do you know what to do? If for any reason you experience delay in your life, do you know what to do? Are we together? If the odds are against you, do you know what key to engage? If you are succeeding in the kingdom, do you know how to remain there? As a man of God, if God trusts you with a congregation, do you know how to grow that seed to become a ministry and a vision that is impacting people around the world? Do you know how to train your spirit man so that you can build and grow and expand on the gifts of the Spirit within you? I'm exposing these various areas to you so that you will see that even the best of us still has work to do. It is based on this revelation that hunger is genuinely created, so that no matter what our achievements are, we run back to Scripture, we run back to Jesus, we run back to doctrine. There is no arrival mentality in this kingdom, because there is so much. Even in heaven, there is room to come up hither. You can still see further. Hallelujah. This became a burden, and I said the church in Nigeria and the church in Africa will remain in trouble if we do not obtain grace from God to come up with doctrinal strategies for the growth and the maturity of believers. If we do not pay attention to this, I guarantee you that in the next 10 to 20 years, with the way technology is interrupting the purity of doctrine, with the way there are all kinds of mixes coming based on our understanding of westernization, a day will come, there will be too many versions of Christianity. You can stand with 10 professing Christians and not be able to pick which one is authentic. Already there are shades of these things around the world. And you know, I'm sent to the body of Christ. I don't speak from a standpoint of sarcasm, but there has to be authenticity, ladies and gentlemen. Hallelujah. And then the more complicated one is now when we delve into the book of Acts. And we have to now deal with the subject of the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He's called the promise of the Father. The Father gave a promise. Jesus advocated that promise, and he prepared the people for that experience. That's where we got the theme for this conference. Are we together now? And so in looking at it, we must realize that if we are not grounded in doctrine, the devil can easily manipulate us. And the reason is because the Holy Spirit is invisible to the optical eyes. If the Holy Spirit were a physical spirit, it would be very difficult for us to be in error. When Jesus walked upon the earth, there were many pseudo-Jesuses, but they knew the real Jesus. But now the Holy Spirit operates within the realm of the Spirit. The Bible says, because you do not know him, they do not know him and cannot see him. Remember John 14. It says, but you know him because he is with you and shall be in you. So how do you relate with a deity that is invisible? How do you confirm if he is the one? How do you confirm that a demon spirit has not come to replace his ministry in your life? The authority of scripture, the accuracy of doctrine becomes our safety guard. You can know you are standing in truth when you are consistent with doctrine. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was with God in the beginning, the Bible declares. It says, through him were all things made, and without him, that means outside of his influence, was not anything made that was made. Are we together now? So I want you to challenge yourself. In fact, while you are sitting, we are going to pray in 1 minute and ask the Lord to expand your desire for genuine spiritual growth, to expand your desire to be a seeker of truth, that you will open up your heart and intend that I'm not just going to rigmarole around my Christian experience. I intend to grow. My growth will be methodical. My growth will be intentional. I will buy the truth. I will subject myself to learning. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. God bless you. Thank you. Now in Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1, the Bible lets us know that the entire discourse of Acts chapter 1 was a capture of the discipleship program that happened when Jesus resurrected. Now, look how powerful, look at the method that Jesus used in raising apostles. For 3.5 years, he spent the time immersing them in the truth of the kingdom. Beginning from his discourse that we know to be the Beatitudes, he began to teach them the structure and the way that the kingdom operates. Contrasting the way that the Roman government approached life and then the way that the kingdom approached life. And he began to expose them. He allowed them to ask him questions. And he now began to answer those questions. And then, when we get to John 14, John 15, John 16, he began to introduce them to this personality. Are we together now?
Yes.
He said, let not your heart be troubled. He starts John 14. He says, ye believe in God, believe also in me. That in my Father's house there are many mansions. He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And when I go to prepare that place for you, I will come down and take you, so that where I am, there you may be also. They didn't understand what he was saying. Then he now introduced them to this personality. But the Comforter, who is he? Now he begins to talk to them about another Comforter, who will come and become an extension of his ministry to them. And he told them up front that the world will not appreciate the ministry of that individual, that Comforter. Why? Because they do not see him, neither do they know him. But he says, you know him, for he is with you here, and he shall be in you. He began to teach them. When we get to chapter 16, he said, I have many things to tell you, but ye cannot bear them now. How be it? When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, the Bible says he shall guide you into all truth, that he shall take of what is of the Father and he shall reveal to you. He began to introduce them to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Then his passion, then his crucifixion, then his burial, then his resurrection. You would think that when Jesus resurrected, he would spend time enjoying his victory. He had no time for that, quite honestly. As soon as that coronation happened in heaven, he returned back quickly and he called them, Acts chapter 1, to continue the lecture. The Bible says he taught them the things that pertain to the kingdom. For 40 days, he sat them down and was concluding the part of his mentorship. 10 days after that, they would be having an experience. Acts chapter 1. Now they began to discuss with him, and he was talking to them about the restoration of Israel. And they asked him a question. They said, will you at this time restore the nation of Israel? He said, it is not for you to know the times that the Father has put within his care. Now verse 8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And that power, when it comes upon you, he says, it will make you witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. When he admonished them like this, he stood right before them and began to levitate into the heavens. Then the Bible says for 10 days they were camping in that place that we know to be the upper room. Now let's read scripture. Acts chapter 2 verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, and it sat upon each one of them. Verse 4 says, they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Bible says, when you read verse 6, it was noised abroad, and multitudes came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. They began to speak in different languages. And then 12 says, they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying to one another, what meaneth this? 13, others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. And then he says, but this is that. This is that which was spoken of by Prophet Joel. Tonight, this scripture will be fulfilled in someone's life. In the name of Jesus, who is the Son of the living God. Listen to me. If we are to be effective, the Bible mandates that we follow them. Not just follow him. There are two levels of followership. Number one is to follow Christ, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus. Is that true? Who is the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame. So ultimately we follow Jesus Christ. But as far as our growth and advancement is concerned, the Bible says follow them. There are always them in every generation, them who through faith and patience have obtained the promise. And the first them we see that are worthy of our followership are those who were directly mentored by the Christ himself. The foundational pillars that even heaven recognized their ministry, that the new Jerusalem was built with 12 foundations with the names of the apostles written there. Follow them means take note of the pattern that was used for their building and their development and subscribe yourself to that pattern. So how did Jesus start with them? Number one, he found them a similitude of the new birth, and he told them, come, follow me. Notice that when you start your journey with Jesus Christ, his first assignment is not to reveal your assignment. His first assignment is to reveal himself. It is come, follow me, not follow it. If for any reason you find yourself following any other thing, including purpose, before Jesus, you are in error. The assignment is come, follow me. Not follow destiny. Not follow a preacher. Not follow the gift. Not follow an office. Come, follow me, he said, and I will make you. That is the next level, transformation. The making. So you start by following. And then the law of abiding, John chapter 15, 1 to 8. You must learn to abide. Followership requires abiding. You don't just visit and go. To abide means to stay until you are immersed in that body of knowledge that makes for your transformation. Are we together now? Jesus spent a major part of his life, literally every day, mentoring a group of people. He broke them into different categories. There were things that when he wanted to teach, it was only Peter, James, and John that knew. There were experiences only those three people had. There were experiences only the 12 had. There were experiences only the 72 had. There were experiences that the crowds had. But albeit he was involved in the ministry of building them by exposing them to the truth of God's word. And then when that process of transformation was sufficient, then came this experience in Acts chapter 2. Now this was not the first time the heavens were opening and there were all kinds of sounds from heaven. We read all through scripture that there had been many instances where the heavens opened and there were sounds coming from heaven. Are we together now? According to scripture, the first biblical record of that opening and sound coming from heaven, as far as the fallen man was concerned, was the interaction between Cain and God. When he killed Abel, God spoke from heaven, and Cain heard him. He said, Cain, what is this that has happened? Am I my brother's keeper? Where is Abel? He said. And then his judgment started. Then when you read what happened to Hagar and the young lad, when Hagar was dismissed from the house of Abraham, the Bible says she dropped Ishmael so that he would die without her seeing him die. And then God spoke from heaven. And he made an oasis there and rescued Ishmael, sent her back to the house of Abraham. And you continue to see the heavens open and several communications happening. Then the Bible gets to Jesus. And it says that at age 30, he went to John the prophet who was baptizing. And when he was dipped in water, the Bible records that the heavens opened. Twice the Bible records this. One at his baptism, the second at his transfiguration. Is that true? Then there was a voice, the Bible says. The Holy Spirit came in the similitude of a dove and rested upon him. And a voice thundered from that heaven and said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Do you know what that means? In other words, this man has set a model that has brought satisfaction for me. If you ever want to bring joy to me, this is the reference. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. He said, I have accredited him by reason of his compliance to spiritual patterns. So hear ye him. Hear ye him does not just mean listen. It means emulate. Follow his formula. And you will bring joy to my heart. Jesus was driven to the wilderness. What is the formula that Jesus followed? I will tell you. He was born a type of the new birth. The next thing that happened was he immersed himself to transformation. From age 12, he was at the temple. God was watching, learning under the scribes and the Pharisees. For 18 years, we do not know what really happened to him. By age 30, we see that he is full of the word and ready for empowerment. Listen to me. If you want to please the Father in your Christian experience, do not compromise on this formula. The new birth experience, transformation, empowerment. That is how to contend for a pattern that will bring glory to the Father through your efficiency. But many believers, here's how we approach it. The moment we get born again, the next thing we want, I'm not talking about empowerment like the Holy Spirit helping you. I mean now to be endued with power for service. Most people are empty. They are not transformed. They are not, that repentance has not happened. And so we contend for transformation. We contend for impartation. And at the end of it, it becomes disaster. Because the assignment of the anointing is to insist that the word of God you carry does not look like a lie. If you do not have any encounter with the word, the anointing does not have any ministry in your life. The ministry of the anointing starts to the degree to which the word dwells in you. Are we together now? So now, Jesus followed that pattern. Birth, transformation, empowerment, service. You see, now he's training the disciples with that same pattern. He called them a similitude of the new birth. Submitted them to 3 years, 3.5 years thereabout of structural mentorship. Now they have qualified to receive the promise of the Father. And the Bible says, Jesus told them, tarry ye in Jerusalem until ye be endued with power. Listen carefully. Now the day of Pentecost came, and the Holy Spirit, the heavens opened, attesting to the fact that they had complied with that pattern. I have taught that the glory of God always comes to confirm that his patterns have been followed. Every time you see the manifestation of God's glory is his signature. It is telling men that someone has walked in keeping with his patterns. If you see the glory of God in a man's finances, it means he has walked in keeping with the principles, the patterns. If you see the glory of God in a man's life, as far as signs and wonders are concerned, it means that he has walked in keeping with the patterns. You first know the ways before you see the glory. Moses said, show me your ways, before he said, show me your glory. You don't have to pray for his glory. The glory is an effect. When you follow the patterns, you will see the glory of God. If you pay attention to what I'm teaching you tonight, you will have a very fruitful Christian experience. Your life will be so efficient, it will bring joy and glory to the Father. Are we blessed? So the Holy Spirit came upon them and transformed them. Now, who is this Holy Spirit that Jesus talked about so much? Who is this Holy Spirit that came upon Jesus in the similitude of a dove? Who is this Holy Spirit that even the word seemed to be so helpless until he arrived? Who is this Holy Spirit that Jesus had to warn the disciples to say, tarry, don't just use zeal to go into the field. Wait until he arrives. And the Bible lets us know that he will not come empty. that every time he comes, he's coming along with a package. The name of that package is power. Say power. Shout it one more time. Power is the currency of the realm of the spirit. That means if you meet me as a Nigerian and you ask me for something, what I will give you most likely is money. Is that true? If you ask me for a bottle of water, I may not sell water, but I can bring out 1,000 naira and give you. Is that true? We call it in economics the purchasing power. I have given you the capacity to have that water. If you fly to the US and you meet someone and he wants to bless you, he will not bless you with naira. He will bless you with the currency within that territory. So when you ask God to give you efficiency, he sends you the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit brings to you the currency of heaven. My goodness, my God. When he lands with that currency of heaven, you can hold that currency of heaven like you see a Nigerian can still hold dollars. Is that true? And look at the excellency, the whole idea of currencies, that $100 bill is not the same thing as 100 naira. Is that true? So if I have $200 and you have 200 naira, we all have money. But the challenge that comes before us will show who is holding hard currency and who is holding whatever it is. So don't just say you have power. Listen carefully. There is the power that comes from heaven. When the Holy Spirit comes, the Bible says he will not come empty. You shall receive power. You shall receive power. Man of God, you shall receive power. Businessman, you shall receive power. The same way, if you are broke physically on earth like we know, you are not evil, but you will be incapacitated. There are things you cannot do. Listen to me. When you submit a CV to get a job, is it really the job you love? Most times, it's not the job. The job is simply a channel. Is that true? You respect the job and you respect the owner of that job. Because without the job and the owner, there is no possibility of a salary. Is that true? So for a salary to come, you need a relationship with that man and the job. You cannot bypass the Holy Ghost and stretch to obtain power. The protocol was so designed that when you come, you meet him first. Please listen, believers, because we're about to pray now. You shall receive power. That sound from heaven was not just a sound of wind. It was the Holy Ghost coming. He said, you shall receive power. Power to do what? I ask you, money to do what? If you want to buy a house, what do you use? If you want to pay medical bills, what do you use? If you want to pay school fees, what do you use? Is that true? If you want to travel and pay your air ticket, what do you use? If there's all kinds of family quarrel over money and you want to settle it, what do you use? So if I give you money, what did I really give you? I gave you more than an airfare. I gave you peace in it. I gave you capacity for advancement. Are we together now? Now, watch this. If you have money and you only use it for medical bills, you are shortchanging the potentials of that money. Because the same money that you use to pay bills is the same money that can buy you a house. Is the same money that can send your children to good schools. So when he says you shall receive power, he didn't mean you shall receive something that will be used only when you are a preacher. I am giving you an advantage that leads you beyond the realm of the ordinary man. Please believe what I'm telling you. You will be ineffective if you reject the revelation of this sound from heaven. Most believers have run away from the power of the Holy Spirit. And you ask them why, they will say, I'm not a preacher, I don't need it. I am not a prophet, I don't need it. I am not an apostle, I don't need it. But you give anybody money at the gate, he will not say, I'm not a worker. He will not say, I'm a female. He will not say, I'm a male. The moment you bring out money, they will collect it because they know that it can serve every purpose. Listen, when you stand in a restaurant or you stand in a mall to shop, the goods you are picking will not ask you how old you are. The goods you are picking will not ask you what is your gender. The goods you are picking will not ask you your background. There is only one requirement. Do you have the purchasing power? If that television is 500,000 or 1.5 million, if you can drop the money there, you will pick it and the television will not refuse to go. It will follow you. That means there is a gift that God can give you beyond your background, beyond your gender, beyond the limitations of your family. First, the Holy Spirit, and with the Holy Spirit, power. I believe this. I study the fathers of faith from history and even the ones who are alive today. None of them rejected this gift. He said, you shall receive. That means you can reject it. Many of us have rejected it. But tonight God is giving you an opportunity again to receive power. Power to heal. Power to deliver. Power to transform. Power to turn things around. Power to rise beyond the grip and the limitations of the vicissitudes of life. Power against the forces of darkness that sit upon the destinies of people. Listen to me. There are people, like I said in the morning, great voices that should be heard across the globe. But there are forces sitting on people's destiny. And many of us are wishing that one day something would happen. And Jesus knew. He said, tarry. Now you have tarried again. And he's coming to you, saying, I brought this in 2009. You rejected it. Now you see what it has cost your ministry. I brought it in 2015. You rejected it. Look what it has cost your family. If that power were not there, or if that power were there, you probably would not be at this level. Now he has come to you again in this conference. And some of you, I will not be surprised if you are here and you will reject him. Reject the Holy Ghost. Reject his power. And he will back up in peace and allow you to recycle pain again in ministry. Recycle pain again in destiny. Watch the devil destroy your family again. Watch your life go through cycles of pain, giving all kinds of explanations, whereas there is power available for you. How many of you have been stranded financially, especially when you wanted to buy something, and then you got to a season in your life where you came into more than enough and you went back to the same thing? You know, that dominion joy of being able to purchase what frustrated you yesterday, that's what God wants to do for you today. That by the time you return from this conference, the powers that refuse to give way, you go back from this conference and you say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I didn't come empty. Peter had been passing the gate beautiful. I am sure the blind man, he may not know them, but they knew him. They knew his condition. And I'm sure Peter would say, I wish I had the power. I wish I had the power. I wish I had the power. And Jesus said, tarry, something is about to come upon you. The next time he was going to pray, when he saw that man, he said, no, yesterday's limitation cannot be tomorrow's limitation. Silver and gold I may not have, but such as I have, I received something. When the Holy Ghost came, such as I have. Such as I have. Hear what Peter was saying. I know what I don't have, but I know what I have. I know what I don't have. The privilege of a superior background,
that, but I know what I have, the power to veto that background. I know what I don't have, the privilege to be raised by responsible fathers and mothers, you may say, but now I know what I have. Power. Listen to me. Please listen. When God was calling me into ministry, I prayed and I said, Lord, I have watched people do ministry without the power of the Holy Spirit. I have watched people give explanations and got frustrated. I have watched people destroy ministries like being dropped in the den of lions. And I said, Lord, I do not want the kind of ministry where I will watch the sick and give them explanations and have them go back like that. I don't want the kind of ministry where I will pray and speak over people. They will shout amen with all their hearts and return with no testimonies. I can't live with my conscience judging me every day that this, the problem is not their believing. They had faith enough to come for your meeting. When a patient meets a doctor, he has done his own part. The remaining now is the doctor. Hear me, Abeokuta. There are many of you who have done well as far as submitting yourself to doctrine and truth. But can I tell you, the way you want to go about your life and destiny without power, I guarantee you, you will be frustrated. Believe me. Believe me. Believe me. There are demonic forces that will not allow you rise to become an expression of what Jesus wants. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy ways. It is through the greatness of thy power, the apakatos kadibata, the greatness of thy power, not your explanation, not your stories, the greatness of your power. Man of God, the gates of ministry will not open just because you are sincere. You need power. There are gates that will not let you rise. There are gates that will not let sinners come to be saved. Listen, he said, I desire to come to you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. Just help us under the anointing. Listen to me, brothers and sisters, hear me. Please look up. I have been oppressed by demon spirits. This man talking to you, I'm not just telling you what I read in a book. I know the kind of background I came from. Nothing rises to a global scale. No. I started ministry as a man of God, and I was still being oppressed by demon spirits. Most people would not be honest to admit this and tell you. I was not an evil person. Yet these spirits will come and oppress me. I will shout in the name of Jesus like I was taught, and they didn't go. And because of the prophetic, I will see them. It's not like they are just pressing me. I'm seeing these spirits, and I'm saying, the Bible says, I give you power. Where is it now? Listen, someone has to get angry in this place this night and say, enough is enough. I'm not going to let things continue to be powerless Christianity, resortless Christianity. I keep giving all kinds of trust explanation. No, sir. Hear me. Hear me. Your Bible is full of the story of men who knew how to receive power and knew how to operate it. There was a man who lived like a god called Elisha. One time, Naaman, the Bible says, the captain of the Syrian army, a valiant man in war, but he was leprous. And a little slave girl who served his wife, she said, oh, there is a man that I can recommend for you if you have the humility of meeting that man. Listen to me. They now wrote a letter to the king, and the king said, you see this trouble? These people are just looking for an occasion for war. When Elisha had it, he said, where is the man? Send him and let him know there is a prophet in Israel. I was told one time, there was a time that they brought someone with a twisted face to Archbishop Idahosa of blessed memory. Do you know what he did? He told the man, look up. And the man looked up. He said, God, this man was created in your image. If this is how you look, leave him like that. We need to repent as a generation. This bragging, we brag about power, we've not seen anything. Those we call miracle workers in our generation were ushers in the Bible. In fact, they were in the welfare department. You see the requirement to be a worker in welfare in the Bible. You needed to have revelation equal to a man of God to serve tables. Listen to me. I know that power has been abused. I know that there are people who have merchandised it. But can I tell you, Abeokuta, please hear me. If it is the move of God you want to see, if it is revival you want to see, if it's bringing this territory under the influence of the Christ, let me tell you this. Our explanations and stories, the world will soon become tired of us. They are already becoming tired of us. That's why our children now are not interested in the things of God. They prefer technology. They will be in church and they are browsing. You call Jesus, it's as if you call Satan for them. We need power. We need power. Mena shalakato sata bragati gate balaka. Shanada balakata. Skata kate barakate kotos. Skata brante gabaros katika lakataba. A Christianity with resource. A Christianity with genuine proofs. That in one day, you can bring glory to Jesus. In one day, you can bring glory to Jesus. Listen to me. Hear me. Please, I want you to be patient tonight. I don't intend to keep us here for long. But I want you to be patient. Because that sound from heaven will echo in this place again. One more time. One more time. I can't guarantee that everybody will catch that fire. But I know there must be someone here tonight. Someone tired of explanations without results. Hear me. Please look at me. Can I tell you this? If we reject the ministry of the Holy Spirit and we reject the power that He's brought to us. I was watching a video of one of the last standing old Yoruba fathers who was part of the move of a particular denomination. He was talking in Yoruba and tears were coming out of my eyes. I said, God, what happened to us? Where did we miss it? How did we backslide? Is it beyond recovery? My goodness. I was reading about a dear people that I know very much, Charles and Francis Hunter. Sir, in one meeting, they raised 100 people from the wheelchair. 100! If one person stands up from the wheelchair now, I can brag and make noise as if I brought heaven down and took it back up. This 100 in a service. Some of the fathers that God raised even from your region, these were men that were like herbalists. As soon as you enter their house, before you sit down, you are already shaking. The kind of power that came upon them, they can speak to you in Yoruba and open your heavens. They were not revealing what will happen. They were making it happen. Can I tell you the truth? With all due respect and honor to our fathers, remember that our fathers were their students. So to tell you the kind of students they trained, There were things that were written in this Bible, they were not parables. They were not parables. Man of God, do you know what will happen to your church in all honesty when you truly receive power? That you declare over your members, and in one night, a family with 9 barren women that their wombs have refused to open because of witchcraft opens like a door. Where will you hide that testimony? That a popular madman on your street, like the madman in Gadara, now becomes healed, and on Sunday he's dressed in suit, not stage managed miracles. That one day someone passes a mortuary on his way to go and pray, and suddenly starts hearing a shout from inside the mortuary, "I'm not dead, oh, open that door." And the newspaper comes to capture it. "Oh God, where are you coming from?" He says, "From heaven. Somebody on earth refused to allow me go. They held me and brought me back." Except we don't believe in this Bible. I came tonight with a cry to tell you there is more. Oh dear prayer warrior, there is more. It's good to pray, but let your prayer produce results. Dear preacher, there is more. I don't mean to insult or challenge or, you know, negatively communicate anything, but are you aware of the way we beg members? "Why didn't you come to church?" "I am not in the mood." "Okay, am I doing something wrong? Can you..." Where did you find that in the Bible? I'm not saying to not treat people well. Don't get me wrong. In the days of the generals, a service will be starting 6 p.m. in the morning. By 2 o'clock or 12, there are already people queuing, because they knew that if you saw those men, it was like you saw God. But let me tell you this before we begin to pray. Almost every one of these men, they died with a prophecy that there is coming a move of the Spirit. They died with a prophecy. They said everything we saw. Can I tell you, I've had the privilege to meet a few people who met these generals. And my question to them is, please tell me, what did they tell you? And almost every one of them will tell you that they left with a prophecy that hand of God is coming again. There are worshippers that are going to arise in power. There are men of God that we have not seen the apostolic and the prophetic. You wait and see the breed of those God is working on. Abeokuta, hear me. Do not elude yourself from this move. In the next 2 minutes, I'd like you to forget about who is at your left or right. I'd like you to cry before God and say, "Power from heaven, fall upon my destiny." Power from heaven upon my destiny. Pray. Shalakata bakatos kotopata. Kebranta katototo kapakata. Like the day of Pentecost. Oh God, let the fire fall. Perentos ketetekata. Tebrakatos yata. The unction that came upon Papa Hedi. The unction that came upon Itahosa. The unction that came upon all the generals of the past. Let it come again, oh God of heaven. man of God. Enough of powerless ministry. It's time to contend for genuine power. Businessman, enough of explanations. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. Pray. Right to the back. Pray. The mantles of men like Pa Elton. Where are the mantles of men like Apostle Babalola? Where are the mantles? One more minute of travail as a communication of your hunger and your desperation. Fire, 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 fall on me. Fire, 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 fall on me. Just like the day of Pentecost, fire, fall on me. One more time from the depth of your heart. Fire, fire, fire. Fire, fall on me.
Fire, fire, fire.
Fire, fire, fire. You're about to receive something that will change your life forever. This is the place of encounter. What you want. Ah. This is the place of surrender. Do to me what you want. Ah. This is the place where my life is changed. Do to me what you want. Hey, na 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 na. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now please hear me. I want to begin to pray for you. The first thing we're starting with tonight is a real impartation. Listen, believe me when I tell you, you need the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't assume you have it. If it is not there, it is not there. There are ministries, there are individuals that are in desperate need for the power of the Holy Spirit. There is no need to sit down wishing for something that can be yours. For this promise is for you and for your children, as many as are afar off, even as many as the Lord will call. Hallelujah. Now please hear me. I want to pray right now. I want you to hold those, all those who begin to run by the Spirit. Just bring them out here gently. There is a very mighty impartation that is coming on you right now. I want to pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, who is the Son of the living God, here in this treasured land of Abeokuta, standing from here and speaking to the nations, there are men and women you are calling, even at this time, to give them strange experiences of impartation. Right now, even as you have revealed to me, I stretch my hands from the front to the back, the left to the right. As many of these people right now, please, whether you are an usher or not, just bring them out, those under the anointing. At the count of three, that fire is coming upon someone. It's an ignition of the Spirit. Are you ready? One, two, three. Take that fire. Take that fire. Take that fire. Take that fire. There is a specific kind of impartation that God is doing with this fire. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. Set our hearts. Shanandes kalika bashalakata. We need a move. Now hear me. Please hear me. Over the last 3 months, the Holy Spirit has been speaking to me about a restoration of the healing ministry. The Lord began to speak to me that we have really lost the healing ministry. There are people who heal, but there are few people who have really gotten this healing mantle. I believe that there will be a distribution of such graces here. Wherever you are, I want to pray. Father, there are men and women who must carry, help that lady, please, help this lady, must carry this mantle of healing. At the count of three, I want you to shout Jesus. Not everyone, but there are people who must carry this mantle. Are you ready now? One, two, three, shout Jesus. Take that fire. 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 Ye shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Help that woman, please. Help that woman. Mantles are falling here tonight. Anointings are falling here tonight. Graces are falling here tonight. For the kings to arise, for revival to return. For the kings to be born, for revival to return. Yeah. Ali, ali, yo. Ali, yo. Ali, ali, yo. Oh, oh, oh. Ali, ali, yo. Ali, yo. Ali, ali, yo. Oh, oh, oh. Hallelujah. Now, we're still praying. Please, I want you to give me a mic. Hold on, please. I want to do something prophetic here. I'm going to invite Minister Dulcin to come up. And just any song in his spirit, I believe there will be a transference of mantles. Hear me. There are prophetic psalmists that will need to arise. Not just composing what does not edify. Please listen to me. Some of you have been called into the ministry of prophetic psalmistry, but for a long time you are in hiding like Gideon. A shofar is about to come from the realm of the spirit. And hear me please. As the man of God raises this song, some of you songs, young and old, will begin to rise from within your spirit, man. Yes, sir. Please.
Spirit of the Sovereign Lord, come and make your presence known in the glory of the living God.
Oh, the mantle of psalmistry.
Spirit of the Sovereign Lord, come and make your presence known in the glory of the living God. Sing hallelujah to the Lord.
Oh, let the rain fall. Let the rain fall. Let the rain fall. Heavens be opened in the name of Jesus Christ. You are receiving an impartation. Open up your spirit
to the Lord
through the sounds of worship you are receiving.
Sing hallelujah to the Lord.
Hallelujah. Now listen. Please listen. I'd like you to place your hand on your chest if you have seen any kind of oppression in your life and your family. I want to pray. The man of God is still going to worship. Listen to me. I want to pray right now. Here it's already filled up, so you may not need to bring them out. Just help them there. But I want to declare, fire is falling from heaven. There are men and women here who have been under all kinds of oppression. The Bible says, for this purpose was the Son of God made manifest, that he may destroy the works of the evil ones. Now hear me. At the count of three, I'm going to ask you to shout the name Jesus. And if God be God, everything that has refused to give way for the King of Glory to come in, he must give way right now. And the power of God will come upon you. That fire will frustrate the counsel of darkness. I want you to shout from the depth of your heart that name that is above all names. Are you ready now? Father, I decree and declare that everyone here who is oppressed, everyone and every family, every business and every ministry, we come in the name of the Lord God of heaven, and we decree and declare, as we shout that name, let every mountain, let every other name, let every enchantment, let every activity of wizardry, let every activity of stargazers, let it come to an end. Are you ready now? 1, 2, 3, shout Jesus. I command every foul spirit, go now, go now, go now. Release the darkness, go, go now, out of their lives, out of their ministry, out of their business.
Hallelujah.
Hold on, please. Hallelujah. Who is Israel? Oh dear, we don't have time. Who is Israel? You are wearing a black t-shirt. Israel. Israel, you are wearing a black t-shirt. This is what I'm seeing. Is there someone like that? Israel, you are wearing a black t-shirt. What I'm seeing is a gentleman with a black t-shirt. Us. Israel. What's your name? Huh? Please help us with another mic. Sound people.
Israel, Israel.
Israel, from where?
Abeokuta.
God wants to change the life of your family, my friend. I don't know you, but you believe in the power of the prophetic. I pray for you in the name of Jesus Christ. Deborah. Who is Deborah? My God. My spirit is fired up this night. Talaska Deberegodos Kadina Kapariata. Shandi Lada, Vivian. I'm hearing the name Vivian. Who is Vivian? Deborah. I'm hearing a name Vivian. Vivian, you are wearing a t-shirt, black and white. Vivian, black and white t-shirt. A lady. Vivian.
We align in everything.
Please don't come out at random. I want to pray for you. The power of God is coming on one of you right now. As soon as that comes, I'll pray for you. This is what I just saw. In the name of Jesus, everything that represents the workings of darkness. There is a woman here, you are trusting God for the fruit of the womb. I'm seeing 4 years. Where are you? 4 years, no child. Come and receive your miracle now. 4 years, no child. Make sure you are married. 4 years, no child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I decree and declare, the power of God is coming on one of you here. Right now, in the name that is above all names, may that fire fall right now. In the name of Jesus. Please, don't come out at random. Let's maintain some level of order. We have a few minutes and I'm done. Come. What's your name? Hold on, please. I want to pray for you. 4 years, no child. I know many of you, it's not 4 years. Obedience is better than sacrifice. I will still pray for you. 4 years. You. 4 years too. 4 years. 4 years. What's your name? Is the mic working? Victoria. What's your name? Huh? Is it Oyetunde? Who is that? What's your name? Do you know her? Is your husband here? Where is he? I'm seeing two of you standing, and the Lord is saying I should pray even for his finances. Where is he? Oga, can you run and come? God wants to visit you. Don't be embarrassed. This is a family of faith. Please come and stand here, sir. You see why it's good to invite people to the house of God? It's not for showmanship. Please hold your wife. I want to pray for you. 4 years. You believe in the power of Jesus. You will never forget this conference for the rest of your life. I'm going to pray for you, but in the name of Jesus. Oyetunde also. That's your name? My dear? What's the name? Okay. Right now I stretch my hands and I decree and declare, standing in faith with every vessel here. Shanice Kali Brandagata. Madam, I'm seeing something come out of your stomach, eh? Out now! The name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God, according to the time of life, help her. I decree and declare, return with your child. God is giving you a baby girl. This is what I'm seeing in my vision. And sir, the Lord instructed me to pray over your finances. I decree and declare, let things shift for you right now. For all of you who are out here trusting God for the fruit of the womb, in the name of Jesus, the power of God is coming on one of you. Afterwards, I'll just speak over you. This is what God is revealing to me. All those who are standing right now, there's such an anointing coming on one of you. We have to hurry up and walk with time. In the name of Jesus, I decree and declare that the spirit that is back of this, it must go now. I'm telling you, I'm seeing fire just coming on you. The Lord is burning everything that is responsible for this. Help her, please. This season of barrenness. I decree and declare to you, according to the time of life, weep not, for the book is opened. In the name of Jesus Christ. Boyega. Who is Boyega? I'm hearing a name. Boyega. Is there someone like that? Boyega. What's your name, sir? You're a preacher? Can I pray for you, sir? I hope you're not embarrassed. Please come. Things are about to shift in your ministry. You see, we are product of God's mercy and grace. There is absolutely no reason to pride and glory except in the name of the Lord. When you see these kinds of things happen, it is more than a man being anointed. It's Jesus revealed. He's been revealed in the midst of his people. I interject to say this because usually in the presence of mighty manifestations like this, it is easy to exalt the man more than Jesus. Thank God for the honor that comes with priesthood. But can I tell you, there is only one who deserves every glory and every lifting here. And we must not be ashamed to let the nations know that we were taught well. Let the nations know that he's built us well. Our assignment is to see him lifted. And he said that if I be lifted up from the earth, you see, if I be lifted up from the earth. Jane, I'm hearing a name, Jane. Jane. Oh, that's really the song.
Shining in the light of your glory, pour out your power and love. As we see glory,
glory, glory. So I want to pray for you, because you have come out in honor to the word of the Lord. Transference is a privilege, it's an election of grace. I assure you, there is a man of God right now. I don't know where you are, but there is such a mighty anointing coming on you. You are a man of God in ministry already. A man of God. Right now, there is such an anointing. And the Lord is telling me that it's a twin combination of the teaching ministry and the prophetic. That mantle. Help him, please. Father, please hold my hand, sir. In the name of Jesus Christ, sir, by the privilege of this election of grace, I decree and declare according to the word of the Lord, step into a new season of power with God. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. My friend, come. Your life is about to change. I don't know you, but let me tell you this. The Lord Himself is about to take you to a dimension in the prophetic and the apostolic. He's starting us like a prayer ministry, but is a real apostolic and prophetic ministry. God is training you and God is building you. And listen to me. There is one secret that has kept you. Humility. Maintain it. Maintain it no matter how God leads you. Let me use this as an encouragement to many people. No matter how far God leads you, the moment pride begins to come, fight it like you fight Satan. Don't ever allow any result make you fight those who God used to help you. Whether you like them or not, whether you believe in them or not, whether you think you are more anointed than them or not, in your humility is your immunity. I don't know this man. I don't pray for people carelessly. I fear God. But I want to pray for you. He's in ministry, sir. Here. In. Oh, I see. Really? My brother, you are going to carry very ancient mantles. Fathers that have died. You write what I'm telling you. Have you read about Parkin Dayomi? Have you read about that man? I like you if you can go and read his material. Read it and pray. There is something from that lineage that is needed in your destiny. Go and write what I'm saying. Just believe what I'm telling you. In the name of Jesus Christ, by the election of grace, I release you. Step into a new season. Power of the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus Christ, a new season. May your eyes be opened. May your hands be touched to war. In the name of Jesus Christ. Why are you here? We have to pray for the sick. Deborah, hold them. One of you will start running now. The power of God will come on you. These things are supernatural. Just please be sensitive. Don't mind me. Let me just do my crazy thing here. We'll soon be done. I don't know why God does this thing. One of you, literally, the power of God is victory over delay. That's what is happening. It's not like you are running intentionally. It's an anointing that will come upon you. And it will just be like you are running like Elijah. Just run. Mr. Man, you are not Jane now. Jane is a female name. What is he doing here? Huh? Okay, I'm just going to pray for you. One of you will start running now by the Spirit. In the name of Jesus, Father, that mantle and that grace that makes even for restoration victory over delay, may that grace be administered right now by the power of the Holy Spirit. And let this be a new season, even by the Spirit of God, that everything that represents the operation of delay, we crush it now by the Spirit of the living God. My friend, lift your hand. This man with monkey jacket. In the name of Jesus, I just saw oil coming on your head. Right now. Take that grace. Right now, in the name of Jesus Christ. That anointing will come on you. You will never be the same again. I don't know who this man is, but God is going to use you mightily. You are drinking of a very, very ancient wine. In the name of Jesus, may God shift you to new levels in the Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ. I rebuke that spirit. This lady, look at me, my dear. I command that spirit to leave now. It must let you go and release your family by the power that raised Christ from the dead. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let me just pray for the sick. We may not have time for testimonies tonight, unfortunately, because we have to respect our time. I'm going to pray for the sick and I'll do the final impartation. One day God is going to grant us grace. Somewhere where God will grant us grace to do a vigil one day, and we'll have the time to really take the time to minister greatly to people. Mr. Dusin, the Lord is speaking to me about, I know your team, but this lady, the Lord is saying, I should tell you, you are entering your season of reward. This lady, that you are entering your season of reward. I believe that what he says to one, he says to all. But in the name of Jesus, that's why I just informed him before praying. I'm praying for you. I don't know what is that reward that you must step into in this season. Honestly, I release you by the prophetic and I declare step into it. And by extension, I pray for your colleagues that you will step into the same grace. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. There is a lady from this city who is going to rise as a worshiper. Listen to what I'm saying. Write it down. There is a lady that God is working on. You see what God is doing with, you know, some of the ladies, the women that God is using in this nation and across. People don't just rise like that. There is a way God leads people. Hear what I'm saying. From this city, it will be as if she just came out from nowhere. All of a sudden, every church will be interested in inviting her. People will want to hear her songs. It is just one song, one, that God is going to bring. And that is what is going to announce that lady. Lord, as you have revealed to me, whether she's here or not, O God of heaven, I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit, visit that lady. And I pray, like you did Mary, launch her into this new season where she will sing your praises to the nations. And like Minister Dunsin, Minister, hear me. Everyone here who has desire to walk in prophetic psalmistry, there is a difference between just ministering and singing and prophetic psalmistry. That was the reason why I requested him to come and stand here. I have seen what God has done in his life in prophetic psalmistry. And in the name of Jesus, I pray for you. You don't have to bring them out when they are under the anointing. Lord, wherever you are, at least seven people who must carry this grace for worship in a definite way. Wherever you are, I stretch my hand as he's stretching his hand. May that grace right now. Pari shani naka skobadidata. Lakreteke parugadiata. Receive that grace right now. Take that grace right now. Take that grace right now. Some of you, the angel of the Lord will wake you in the night. Oh, I tell you this. And give you songs from heaven. Songs that you will write, they will become ladders that will lead the nations to worship. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now please hear me. If you are trusting God for a miracle in your body, I have a few minutes to be here. Just lay your hands right now.
As we worship in your presence, there is healing.
Lay your hands there.
It's flowing, Jesus.
I want you to agree with me as I pray for you. Listen to me. Help them, please. The healing power of Jesus is touching people. I truly believe in the healing ministry. I believe that Jesus heals. I believe that miracles are not a manipulation. There are genuine miracles. And right now,
just breathe your name upon me. Just breathe your name upon me, breathe.
Ah, Shalena Sabaruziata.
Your name, what is your name? Breathe, Lord. Just breathe your name upon me.
One more time, and I'll pray for you right now.
Just breathe your name upon me.
His name is powerful.
Just breathe your name
upon me.
His name is mighty, able to save, able to heal. Now agree with me. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Every spirit that is back of any infirmity plaguing your life and plaguing your body, according to the integrity of Scripture, the Bible declares that by His stripes we were healed. Please help them. Help those under the anointing, my God. Such a move of the healing power. Help that gentleman. Be healed now. Be healed now. Every eye condition, be healed in the name of Jesus. Every bone condition, hear the word of the Lord. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Heart palpitations, be healed right now in the name of Jesus. I'm hearing the name gastritis. In the name of Jesus, be healed right now. Any terminal disease, HIV, cancer, we curse you in the name of Jesus Christ. There is someone, you have a swelling around the side of your cheek. It looks like mumps, but it stayed there for unnecessarily long. The power of God is touching you right now. Be healed in the name of Jesus. It looks like muscle pull, but it has remained there almost as if you cannot stand for long. Your kneecap shakes. By the power of the Holy Spirit, let there be healing for you right now. Now, whether I mention your case or not, in the name of Jesus, who is the Son of the Living God, I declare life and healing now. Perfection and wholeness now. In the name of Jesus Christ. And I pray finally, let me make an altar call. I have to make an altar call. Can you give me a minute for an altar call? Now, when I make the altar call, and then we'll pray finally, and we're done. There's no need cajoling. Listen to me. Jesus is truly the way, the truth, and life. This is not just a Christian talk. It is true. You are here, and you are saying, Apostle, I truly need Jesus. I came for this believers conference. Do not end tonight's meeting without giving me an opportunity. Please, we are still standing. Or those who are saying, Apostle, I remember giving my life to Jesus, but as it is, my life has gone haywire. If you belong to any of that group, wherever you are, please, I'd like you to run like there's fire in the mountain to the front here. I'm going to count five. After five, that will be all. Do not wait for anyone. Be the first to come. One. Celebrate them as they come, young and old together. Two. Don't allow anybody sit down or stop you from coming when you know you should come to Jesus. Come. 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 Run to Jesus. Two. Shalema ratosia da da da. Abeokuta, is this how you celebrate salvation? Jesus is bringing many to Him. Come. Please allow those who need to come to come. If they are coming for salvation, please let them come. Four. Apostle, I want to come, but I'm ashamed. There's no need to be ashamed. Run to Jesus. Hallelujah. Now listen, all of you who are in front, on behalf of Jesus, who is the head of the church, I salute and I celebrate you for making this conscious decision, coming to Jesus. Can I tell you this? Someday, very soon, this life will fold like a curtain, and it will be the beginning of another season. I know this is a message that is not very popular again, but let me say it one more time. Jesus is coming soon. Believe me when I tell you this. Sooner than the first time you heard this sentence, Jesus is coming. One glorious morning, you will get up trying to go to your place of work. I will get up trying to run and take a flight and go for a ministration. Only that we'll find out there may not be need for it again. His majesty coming in the brightness of the cloud. We will see him as he is. Whether we believe him or not, that day we will see him. And the Bible says the dead in Christ will arise first. And we who are alive and remain, we will be caught up in the air. And there will be that glorious exit. We will sing your songs, Minister Dunsin, while we ascend. We will sing those songs of victory, the triumphant ones, and wave the earth and its pride one more time. And can I tell you this? It is a risk to not know Jesus. This is not planting fear. It is the truth. We will join the cloud of witnesses. What a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. I'll sing and shout a victory. Lift your right hand high to heaven. I want you to say this loud and clear. Let it be from the depth of your heart. Shout it, say, Lord Jesus, tonight I have heard your word. I believe that you died for me. I believe that you rose again for my justification. According to the authority of Scripture, I declare that I am a child of God, a recipient of the life of God. I receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, and I reign in life. The power of sin, Satan, hell, and the grave is broken over my life. From tonight until forever, I am a child of God. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I stretch my hand toward these ones, and I decree and declare by the power of the Holy Spirit, your sins are forgiven based on the authority of Scripture, and I declare that you are recipients of eternal life, even the life of God. From today, the power to live a victorious Christian life, let it be released upon you. You go forward ever and backward never, in Jesus' name. Now please, all of you, the counselors are waving the placard. Please, can we celebrate them, all of you, as you move to my right? Everyone, please. Let's celebrate them. We're almost on.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, we are going to see the Lord.
Hallelujah. Let me encourage you finally. Please listen, Abeokuta. Do not allow anything stop your pursuit of Jesus Christ. Let it not be that after a conference like this, you will enjoy the moment for a few days, only to return back to the way things were. It is my encouragement, and I lend my voice with Pastor Shola, all the organizers, and every servant of God, the fathers of the faith that are in this land, to encourage you. Let it be from the depth of your heart that
that any time we meet again, we will find you on fire, loving Jesus, serving Jesus, committed to the house of God, committed to soul winning, committed to your spiritual growth, committed to your relationship with Jesus, and committed to your purpose and your destiny. And for this, may the Lord grant you grace. In the name of Jesus Christ, it was my honor ministering the word of the Lord to you. I pray that the Lord will bless you in Jesus' name. Thank you.